Well, we just pray that the Lord would bless these few thoughts this afternoon. I feel like the Lord's been talking to me. Want to think about a scripture starting over in 1 John 3. And 1, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not." I just want to think about a little bit this afternoon about fathers and about a really main subject, I suppose, would be knowing the Father. But I want to think about fathers for a minute. This scripture just starts out in a beautiful way. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." You know, there's a special love that is just natural to a father, to their sons. It'd be hard to explain, but there's something really special about a father, his feelings, and his thoughts concerning his children. And, you know, for God to call us His Father, I think He had to have, I think this writer, John, understood that special meaning. I think about the thoughts when those little children are little, and in my mind, anyway, just everything they were doing, I was thinking about one day we're going to release this child, and I hope we can train some of these ill behaviors out. I hope that we can train them to learn to bear responsibility. I hope that we can help them to become honorable people. I hope that we can cause somehow, by the help of the Lord, something to well up within them to want to serve the Lord with all their heart. You know, as fathers, don't we have that in our hearts? Don't we see these children with longing and with hope? And we see and we put our life into them. A child of ours is not just anybody. There's millions of children. There's billions, I suppose, of children or in the world. But there's only 5 that I really call my children. And there's a very special connection. They were born from me. they've got my blood. And there's a special connection that God put there. And so when we look at that place that God gave a man in his children's lives, we realize when God said, "Behold," when John said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God," you know, he knew what he was saying, didn't he? And so this afternoon, I want to look a little bit. One scripture, I will try not to be too lengthy, so I'm going to just quote some that I would maybe normally read. But one scripture says that he would be a father. "I will be a father unto you." This is 2 Corinthians 6. And 17. We'll just read that. "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." You know, I was just thinking about this whole picture. We know in the natural what a father is, don't we? I hope most of us know, and maybe some don't, the love that a father has for his children. Because there are fathers that haven't been that way. But you know, a natural father has that. It just comes when they're born. And it is always there. And there's a lot through his life of sacrifice and providing and working and endless hours. And it's nothing, because that's what we want to do. That's what we long to do for our children and to give to them. But I was thinking about the different relationships and You know, when you look in Luke, the 15th chapter, and we're just all of us very familiar with this probably, but it speaks here, 15 and 11, it said, and a certain man had two sons. And we know that story. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And so he took it, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. You know, I wonder how this man felt. Now, this man was evidently a good father. He cared about his sons. And he had two of them, only two of them, it sounds like. And so when he saw this son begin to do these things, I can only think what had to be going through his mind. Why? Why is he doing this? I have poured my whole life into trying to teach him better, trying to give him a foundation that he could have a life that would be honorable, that would be something that he himself could profit from, that he would have a place to raise his children, and that he would understand those right things that make a home happy. I wonder what the father was thinking. He had to be heartbroken. See this young fellow go off and spend everything that was falling to him, just spend it and waste it in riotous living. But you know, this father, he still had a heart for this young man, didn't he? And so when he came back, we look on down, and the young man, we know his story, that he decided, you know, I'll go to my father. Even his servants have it better than me. This hog feed isn't doing too well with me, and which is the way it works. But you know, he said here, he arose in verse 20 and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Now, do we do this to people when they go out and they ruin their lives and everything and they come back? His brother was like, this kid, he's wasted his life. He's wasted everything you gave him. He's devoured your substance with harlots. And he was angry at him. He was angry at his dad. But his dad, he had a connection his brother didn't have. This was my son. This was my son. You don't know how many years I poured everything I had into this son to try to teach him and to try to help him not to do this and to try to help him to be successful. And so the father, when he saw him, he was so glad to see him back. Now maybe things can be different now, because this father had a heart wishing and hoping for this son. I'm coming to some things, okay? He says here, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. And that, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. And we know how that upset his brother. But you know, the Lord, when he took upon us, and he calls us his sons, you know, he has longings too. Did you know when God saves us, he hopes. He hopes. He calls us one of his sons, one of his daughters then. And he longs to tell us some things, doesn't he? He longs for us to be able to understand those valuable things that He wants to teach us. I remember so many times. If I could remember all the instances, they would probably be numberless almost. But I remember the time you see something, and you see your child, you see an attitude they're picking up. You see someone they've been talking to and picking up some strange ideas or whatever. And you begin to think, how can I get this took care of here? This is going to hurt him. I can't let this happen. I've got to begin to counter it. I've got to begin to put something positive in place of it and get this. You know, we're protecting our children, aren't we? Do you know that God feels that way toward us? And He tells us in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth." Did you know that? Did you know that the reason a father, a godly father, the reason he chastens his children, the reason he gives them whippings, however that's done from time to time, the reason he does that, he has to do that, doesn't he? Because he cannot see that child develop into ways that's going to destroy their life. He has to somehow curb those things, somehow cause that child to be able to learn better things, better judgments. Hopefully, if you have a child that's lazy, what do? Do you just let him be lazy? No, you begin to chasten him, don't you? You begin to try to help him to understand why he needs to work. You try to help him to learn to work, don't you? You counter him. You counter his laziness. No, you can't be lazy. If you're lazy, do you know you're always going to be on the bottom of the totem pole? Do you know, if you want to say it that way, you're always going to be the bottom wage earner. You're always going to be making somewhere around minimum wage or $10 or $12 an hour. And those that achieve, oh, there's no limit. Maybe they're making a real nice wage, real livable. Maybe they're making $40 an hour. Or maybe they're, you know, you try to train your children like that, don't you? Trying to develop, trying to help them to understand, trying to help them to know these things over here don't do, because when you do, it's going to hurt you. You know, don't talk to people like that. You know, it's a positive and a negative thing, isn't it? If you talk to me like this, if you talk to your mother with disrespect, do you know when you start having some troubles with your wife, you're going to disrespect her? And do you know what that's going to do to your relationship? It's going to just tear it down, isn't it? You're never going to be able to have your wife really loving you. And so all through their life, you're working to try to help them understand those things that make them able to be successful people in this world. We're not talking about rich in the things of this life. We're talking about rich in the things of God, able to hold a good job and have good things. We want that, don't we? And so, when I think about all of these things, I think about God's longing for us. I remember my dad. I remember when he would take me to work with him all the time, and I don't know what all he was doing to train. I remember when he taught me to hang doors, and he took a level, and he went to we were in a little house. I still remember the place, or at least the area we were in, and he put the level up, and he showed me how you level this door and how you shim the hinges and where you shoot it. And then he left, and he said, "I want you to hang the doors." But you know what? He had a different style than a lot of people have. But he taught us. He imparted to us so many things, and I didn't know it. I don't remember my dad ever sitting down and holding long conversations about things. He didn't do that. Dad was a hands-on person. Many of us, our style is very different than that. But you know what I want us to look at this afternoon? God longs to impart to you and me some things. Folks, if we could only see the heart of God, and if we could only see how He longs to teach us some things. Do you know the Scripture says in Jeremiah 31 and 31, I want to look at what the Lord promised was coming down. This was long years before this happened. But it says here, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. And they will be, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and will remember their sin no more." You know, this afternoon, the Lord longs to impart unto us some things. In the Old Testament times, He gave them laws. He wrote laws out for them. And we have books of laws that the Lord wrote, and things that they were to do, and sacrifices they were to make, and all of these things. But you know what? It never somehow made it. It never made it where He wanted it to get. And these people erred over and over. Do you know He wants a people today that are His sons and daughters, that carry on His work, that are enlivened by His Spirit, that don't just err in a little while, they err and then they come back and then they err again. The Lord is looking for some folks that know Him. I want to talk to us this afternoon about knowing the Lord and allowing Him to write His laws in our hearts. You know, today, I think much of the Christian world misunderstands something. They believe that God completely did away with the law of God. Well, you know, I think about the difference there is between the righteousness, I wrote this down, the righteousness which is in the law and the law of righteousness. The righteousness which is in the law is something that the Lord tried to teach His people over and over. But do you know that when He takes that and He puts that law in our inward parts, that law of righteousness, you know He still doesn't want us to kill people? Do you know He still doesn't want us to lie to one another? Do you know He still doesn't want us to steal? He didn't do away with that. He fulfilled it. He took it from just a bunch of writings that He was trying to teach that people were supposed to read and memorize and write on their foreheads and write on their arm around their arms and all those things. He put it in their hearts. But do you know that for the Lord to do that, how He longs for His laws to be written in our heart. How the Father longs for you and me to understand His ways and to take His righteousness upon us. How He longs to have a light in the world that comes from the inside out, that is no longer constantly fighting with that same level of self that they did in the Old Testament. You know, this is what the Lord, He longs for us to know Him. I want to talk to us just a few minutes, and we'll try not to be too long. But saints, we've got to know the Lord. It's not enough for us to know about His laws. He wants to speak to us on the inward part. He wants to write His laws inside. He wants to speak to our hearts. He wants to move upon us by His Spirit. Jesus told His disciples, He said that He was going to send the Holy Spirit back, and He said He dwelleth with you, but He's going to be in you. Do you know that the Lord wants for you and me to have a real walk with the Lord? He wants us to know Him. He wants us to understand what the Father is trying to say to you and me. He has a lot of things He's wanting to say. He has a lot of things He's wanting to do. The Lord that made all of this heavens and earth and all of that that is therein and all those things, and He has that much imagination to make all those things. Do you think that He has a people that He doesn't have any purpose for or use for? Do you know that He wants you and me to draw real close to Him? Because God has plans for your life and mine. He has some things that He would like us to be. But He doesn't want it to just be a law to us. He wants it to be in our inward parts, written so that we understand it. We love it. We live this way. We give ourselves to it without any reserves. And that's what the Lord wants us to do in our lives today. I believe the Lord wants us to know His voice. You know, there are so many voices in the world today. There are so many spirits in the world all around us today. The one Scripture tells us to not believe every spirit. He says there's many spirits gone out into the world. How are we going to know the difference, folks? Because we know the voice of the one that leads us. Do you know that if we only learn the commandments? Do you know that everybody has their take on the commandments? Everybody can say many good things of every persuasion, and yet the spirit be so wrong behind it. How are we going to be able? How are we going to follow the Lord? How are we going to know what is good and what is not good for our lives except the God, the Father, somehow impart that to you and me? How's He going to do that? Are we going to get a book and learn it? Yeah, He gave us a book, didn't He? And He wants to implant it into our thoughts, into our heart, into our affections. He wants us to come aside from our busy lives and hear His voice and hear His thoughts and hear the things that He has in mind. Do you know He has good in mind for us? Do you know that this Father, I just had some things in mind for my children that I messed up a lot of times. I wished I would have done better. But you know what, saints? The Lord, the God, the Father Almighty, He don't mess up. He has things He wants to tell us. And if we will come to know Him, many times the commandments that are meant to be good for us, the commandments He wants to write on our hearts, do you know that they can be a stumbling block between us and God? Because if we are only good, but we don't know the Father, do you know that we're missing the main element? We have to be good. We have to depart from evil. We have to keep the commandments of the Lord. But I will tell you what God is really wanting. He wants us to know Him. He wants us to know His voice. He wants us to be able to discern what is right, what is wrong, what is of the Lord and what is not. He wants us to be able to discern His will for our specific life, for you and me, where we're at, what His will is, because there are thousands of calls for our life every day, isn't there? And what shall we do? Which way shall we take? This isn't sin and that's not, and there's a thousand different ways, and some are and some aren't. But what way shall we take? We need to know the Lord. The Father has you and I's interest in mind. And how He longs. How the heart. That's why He writes to us as a Father. That's why He longs to impart to you and me. things that will build our life, things that will bring us to see His face in peace, things that will allow us to have a home that is truly a sanctuary, truly a place where peace and where true love prevails and not some form of it. So this afternoon, I just want to challenge us that we know the Lord and that we don't just do commandments, but that we know Him. Folks, we have to take aside time. We have to pray. Now, I hate to say it in that context. We have to pray. Folks, we need to know the Father. Lord, I want to hear Your voice. I want to stop long enough to be completely subject to Your will and to hear You speaking to me. That's a special privilege that only the sons get, only the daughters get. Everybody else, there isn't time to give it from one father, whoever they may be. They cannot give it to 10,000 people. But I'll tell you what they can do. They can give it to their sons and daughters. And that's what the Lord wants to do for everybody this morning or this afternoon. In John 14 and 17, I love these scriptures here. Wait, I'm going to go to John 10. I quoted that one already. John 10 and 2. It says, "But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice." Now, who is he speaking of here? Christ is speaking of himself, isn't he? He said, "And the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out." Isn't that? That's awesome, isn't it? The sheep know the master's voice. "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Folks, we've got to know the voice of the Lord. There's too many other voices in the world. And there's too many ways to justify the flesh on every hand. And there's too many ways for us to be led astray. I wish it wasn't so, but it is. I wish it was just black or white, but it's not. There's many spirits gone out in the world today. And folks, how are we going to know the way? It's not safe for us to just decide. It's not safe for us to just know what the old saints used to teach and try to decide off of that. Our only safety is that we know the Lord. Do we know the Lord this morning? Do we know Him? Do we know His voice? Can we say, "God spoke to me. He spoke to me this morning. I know." It says, "And a stranger, for they know his voice, and a stranger," verse 5, "will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." You know, I think every so often about some scriptures back in 2 Peter 2 and 18. Speaking of the voices that the world has to offer, that false prophets have to offer. It says, "For when they speak great swelling," listen to this descriptive terminology again, "great swelling words of vanity." This sounds like something really great and swelling words of nothing. Of no value. That's what vanity is. Lighter than air. It doesn't have value. Folks, it is everywhere all around us. And we find, and I hear often enough, these great swelling words of vanity on every hand, spoken by the false prophets all around us. And it says they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, Do you know what they allure? You know what their lure is? Do you know how they get people? They allure through the lust of the flesh, through things that excite the flesh, things that excite what people love, instead of preaching the cross. Do you know that the Lord wants to teach us of the cross? He wants to teach us how to take up our cross and follow Him and find the glory that's in the cross. Very different than the glory of the flesh. It leads to a whole different place. It crucifies the flesh and makes people men and women of honor and of God. And it does that. And the Lord wants to teach us those things today. But we find that they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, much lasciviousness, much loose behavior. Those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. You know, I was working with some men one time, and these were very religious men. They were in a group that was really got excited about things, and they were always praising the Lord and saying praise the Lord anyway and those things. But then if they would get angry or whatever, then they would be cursing and swearing and all of those kind of things. And it never quite added up in my mind. But do you know that to them, and the Lord help them, to them, they were servants of God. They would get all excited about things. But do you know that the Scripture tells us, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. There is a lot of this kind of religion in today's world. Folks, we live in a time that it is not easy to discern what is truth and what is error. It is not easy to discern what is right and what is wrong. And I want to encourage us today to get to know the Lord deeper as we go through life. Take time, the song says, to be holy. Take time to not be thinking our thoughts, but to be praying to God for His thoughts. To be reading His Word and searching the Word of the Lord and asking the Lord to reveal to us His ways and to reveal to us His thoughts. I believe the Lord wants to do that today. The heart of the Father longs to equip us, folks, to go through this world and keep our vision of godly things, to keep our vision of God's people and His church, to keep our vision of holiness in a world that professes Christ everywhere and says there is no such thing as holiness. I meet it regularly at home. I think the only way that we're going to be able to go through those things is what we just read in John. It says, a stranger will they not follow, for they know the voice of the shepherd. And that's not an exact quote. But they don't know the voice of strangers. And so this afternoon, do we know the voice of the Lord? And do we know what He really says? Or do we just think in our mind, this is the way it is? I don't believe this, I believe that. I don't believe this, I believe... Do you know that is extremely dangerous to the extreme to take that kind of stance? It's a way to be lost eternally. But I'll tell you how to be saved eternally. That is, let the Father be to us the Father. Get to know Him. Get to know His voice. You don't come into His presence in our own boastful pride. We don't come into His presence with our own agenda. We come into His presence completely. Lord, whatever You say is what I want. And you know, when we humble ourselves like that, folks, I believe God will lead us and He will guide us. That's the way our forefathers have come. They've come down that kind of road where they knew the Father And they loved Him. They had a real relationship with Him. Not just an understanding of what was right and what was wrong, but a real live relationship with the Father where He taught them. Has the Lord ever sat down and worked you through and taught you some things? Sure, many of us here could say absolutely many times. But do you know that's for all of us? It's not just for all of us, but folks, I think about this prodigal son. And I think about how that when he went out, do you know he went out doing exactly what he wanted to do? But he didn't have any idea what would follow. He never dreamed he would be eating out of the hog pen and trying to find something to eat there. But he was. And so I want to read the scriptures that I've been quoting over here in 1 John 4 and 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. You know that doesn't say that every mouth. It says every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ. To confess Jesus Christ has come in your spirit, in your life, and with your spirit is something that cannot be done in the flesh. It cannot be done just by ourselves. But that's something God does through us. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. Do you know that many people don't hear the language of holiness? They don't hear the words of the Lord. But the scripture here says that he that knoweth God heareth us. I thought about a man named Simeon. Do we know Simeon in the Bible? How did Simeon know that that little baby was the Christ? All around him, the most learned men there were denied it. They put him to death. But Simeon and Anna, he went in the temple and they saw him and he was like, blessed be the Lord God. And he had seen the Christ. Now, Lord, let your servant depart. Simeon understood because he knew the Lord, didn't he? Because the Holy Ghost was upon his life. Folks, nobody else. So many of the ones that knew the truth that God had sent to them, they didn't even recognize the Christ. Do you know our only safety today is that we know the Lord? I want to encourage us today to know the Lord. If we don't know the Lord, we're in extreme danger all the time if we do not know the Lord. And that means that we know His voice. It is not rocket science, folks. It's not something we have to go to school to learn. It's not something we can know the Lord. The most humble, the most unlearned one among us. It says, maybe we'll read that. We read it in the prophecy in Jeremiah where it said, they shall all know me from the least to the greatest. And you won't have to teach everyone saying, know the Lord, because they're all going to know me. Do you know that we have to teach one another sometimes His ways, and we're told that there will be pastors and teachers and all those things. But do you know, to know the Lord is for every one of us. If He's our Father, He wants us to know Him. And He wants to know us. And He will, if we'll let Him today. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And every one that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, For God is love. You know that all these things the Lord wants to impart into our lives. I find that many times people don't love each other. Now, I don't want to say that, but sometimes that is the case. Sometimes people don't love each other, do they? If we come close to the Lord, we will love everybody. That's what the Father puts into our heart and life. Folks, we might say, well, they did me wrong. I'm not going to speak to them. Surprisingly so, I've heard that kind of thing said. Do you know that that is so wrong? The Lord wants to teach us difference. How is He going to teach us different? Our minds are we're too thick-headed, aren't we? I'm too thick-headed sometimes to get things through. The Lord wants to get it through. It can only happen many times when we get to know Him better.